I did interview Orse and Sandra last week, and I'm not sure if you know you guys talked about that, but what just to give you a rundown, basically, we talked about what the general background of the report was, what the reasoning behind choosing information quality as the first area to do a major lit review on. And then we talked about, you know, some of the major findings. So what we were kind of looking to talk with you about was what the next steps were. I guess what the next steps with this research, and then the next steps for the youth and media project in general.
I'm probably a better person to talk about the actual lit review, and or is the better person to talk about the next steps, but I'll do my best.
Okay. Okay, so I will prompt you with a question that sounds like it's organically part of the rest of the interview, because we're going to attempt to pretend like you were in the room.
Okay.
If that doesn't work out, no big deal. We'll just put in something like a narration that explains where you are right now.
Okay.
So actually, it probably won't work because you are on Skype, so we will make that clear. Moment, what are the next steps for the research here? Where does it go from here?
Well, we have received some great funding from the McCormick Foundation for setting up a youth and media lab. And that's what we're working on this summer and for the foreseeable future. And that is really taking a lot of the lessons we've learned from the Lit Review and from previous work and trying to turn that into action. One of the major things we're doing and part of the as part of the Youth and Media Lab is trying to build curricular modules that address these topics of information quality, especially around news, that can be either used in themselves online, that people can find them for themselves and run through them, that teachers can use in classrooms, either by themselves or connect several of them, could be used in after-school programs or community centers, things of that sort. So we're in the process of developing those modules right now.
And how do you see those coming together? Like, we're talking about the information quality report and some of the challenges that youth are facing with regards to, you know, sussing out the most useful information from the great wealth of resources that they see on the web. What might be an example of a curricular mode that could be employed to help young people and help schools and institutions train the next generation to deal with information?
Okay, so in this sense, or on this point, the Lit Review has been very helpful because one of the chapters in the Lit Review is devoted specifically to education and what people have tried already. And there's some very interesting lessons we've learned from that that we're looking at replicating or drawing inspiration from. One is a teacher with the last name Harris, I think Frances Harris, who has this classroom activity. She takes the site martinlutherking.org, and this is actually a favorite site of educators and librarians. On the surface, it seems like perfectly respectable site about Martin Luther King, but if you dig deeper, it's actually a front for a white supremacist site. And the deeper you dig into the site, it starts having all these insane ravings about Jews controlling the media and Martin Luther King being a communist and all of these things. And so Harris uses this in her classrooms to sort of guide kids through an example. And she says in her class, kids catch on very quickly. You know, at first they believe it, but very quickly they begin to realize that something is amiss. Of course, it's far easier for anybody to identify a trick when it's presented in the leading context. You know, this is a classroom activity. Obviously, there has to be something going on. But still, it shows that with that kind of guidance and structure, kids, you know, high school kids in this case, I think, or maybe even middle school kids, are able to use that range of cognitive resources. So even by having them run through that range of cognitive resources, it can be a very constructive and productive activity. The next step, hopefully, would be having them learn to use that in all situations, or not just inside the classroom, but in their daily lives. That's one example. There's another great example by Haruni, Haumin Haruni, I think, from 2009. And he was reporting on his experience as a high school teacher in California. And he saw his students using Wikipedia, and he noticed a lot of papers had very very nice sounding language, and a search for that language found that it has just been copied and pasted from Wikipedia. So he engaged in this year-long project in grappling with these issues of authorship and bias and a whole lot of things using Wikipedia as a tool. And one of the early gimmicks that he did was he purposefully vandalized a Wikipedia page to show kids how easy it was to fake information. But that was just sort of problematizing the thing itself. He then went with the students much deeper, and one, in fact, alternative final project was for students to take a page that had been flagged for quality problems and to have them rewrite the page. And based on whether the quality warning disappeared, that's how they would be assessed on their project. So actually, you know, engaging the full internet ecosystem, of which Wikipedia is often a very notable part. And yes, another activity, again, around Wikipedia was asking a girl who had transferred schools about her own personal experience versus what was reported about the school on Wikipedia. The Wikipedia entry said that the school had a certain population of African Americans. The girl said, well, you know, that wasn't really my experience. So then the class went to the citations, saw that the figure came from the school's official website, and then you can start digging deeper into this idea of source that, okay, is this accurate? Is the school trying to present a particular image? How old is this? It never says. So really, you know, based on things that the kids cared about or had some personal stake in, engaging them with these complex issues.
Right. And it sounds like, well, I guess education for, you know, as long as education has been around, has been about creating critical thinking skills or helping foster critical thinking skills and
yes,
making young people skeptical. It just seems like a much bigger challenge today with the net.
Yes. And in many ways, and I think Urs has been doing this for longer, he has a better grasp of the full complexities, but the internet in one sense no longer has, there's a lot of talk about the internet not having the traditional gatekeepers, and that being both a challenge because information is no longer verified in the same way, but also an opportunity because in a lot of cases information, for example, about health or, you know, sexual health, especially for young people, this type of information has been constrained, and now it can be empowering to have access to that information without the traditional gatekeepers or authorities. But then at the same time, you know, those authorities did serve a role, and it's altogether more complex, more opportunity, more dangers. And that's something I don't think I fully have a grasp on. But I think these types of activities, such as the two that I've described and more of which we review in the literature, show how traditional attempts to engage kids with critical thinking can be enriched and with the internet and with the availability of such a larger range of information, even around pop culture. You know, it's so much easier to maybe do activity around pop culture because of the information that's available around the internet versus what might have been available before, just as an example. So there's both a lot more complication and difficulty, but a lot more opportunity for training critical thinking skills around the internet and with the internet and despite the internet.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
I'm taking that from Haruni's title. It's, I think, teaching social studies despite and with Wikipedia or something to that effect.
A perfect acknowledgement of both the pros and the cons of the media.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Moment, and we'll link to that report up on our site. We'll look forward to sharing that with our listeners. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
So I didn't ask anything about Youth and Media project more broadly, but I feel like this is really good right here, especially since what you guys are doing right now with the curriculum project is a good bulky example of what youth and media are doing.
Yes.
So yeah, I think that's it. That's going to be great. I'll have these two together and we'll have a piece next week.
Let me think. The only thing